Welcome to the IT Babble podcast, where we talk about educational technology and a whole lot more. You can find our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe, or your very favorite podcasting app. Also, you can find our blog at www.itbabble.com. Welcome back. It is the IT Babble podcast, and it is coronavirus crazy out there in the world. No school, Tony. No school. No school. That's what everybody's... No school, no restaurants, no... gatherings, no whatever, and we are starting our distance learning tomorrow, and of course we'll talk a lot about that. In fact, all this whole episode is going to be about distance learning and what we like and what we don't like and all sorts of other good stuff. And I've got thoughts, and I got questions, and I want to know what you think, Tony. I want to know, but first.
Yes.
Are you COVID free? Because if you're not, we're going to have to end the podcast immediately.
I'm social distancing. I'm actually in my car alone, and my family is in the house. So,
but that's just for podcasting reasons, people. Tony is not really quarantining himself in his car.
My wife thought I would be too loud, so I'm in the car. So if I sound weird, that's why.
No, you sound okay. You're coming through pretty good.
We are COVID free, and it seems like 101% of every human we know in America, Korea, China, and Europe is also COVID free. So I just want to put that out there that every single person we know in multiple countries has no indication that they have the virus. A few have gotten tested, because in Korea you can get free tests now, and everybody's fine. Like,
yeah, there's good.
We don't have any, 6 degrees of separation from anybody, so that's positive. Mm-hmm. And so now we're just waiting it out. We're waiting for the next wave, Patrick, right. Which is all online services going down. All right, so
it could be.
I'd like to kick this off.
Let's
with
talk
the meeting I had. With the meeting I had.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to kick it off with Microsoft Teams, because I know it went down.
I think on
Friday.
I am. I'm going to kick it off. We'll talk about Microsoft Teams. But over 4 weeks ago, I knew that this was probably going to happen, and I sat down with my boss, and I was like, "This probably will not happen, but we need to get prepared." And a family member of mine is a FEMA team member. So whenever there's a national emergency, they get mobilized.
Mm, yeah.
And this person was mobilized 5.5 weeks ago.
Wow.
And so when people are like, the government's not doing anything, all these FEMA teams were mobilized a long time ago. They get staged around airports and other major areas of the country, usually, to deal with everything like people coming in and they need to be quarantined. And there's just all these reasons to use these FEMA teams to do different things. They're hands-on extra people. So anyway, that as soon as that happened, I'm like, okay, I need to talk to my school about this. And then, Patrick, I think about that time is when you and I asked you to help me test Microsoft Teams out.
Yeah.
And I went through the whole setup and configuration. But at the same time, I'm watching Asia. And what happened in Asia the first couple weeks is Google and Microsoft and a lot of other companies got overwhelmed, and their services just couldn't keep up. And they had to expand their cloud resources in order for enough people to simultaneously use the services.
Yeah.
So I brought this up at my work, and then, we're having a meeting, and someone's like, I don't think that'll happen. America has better infrastructure.
It doesn't.
And I was like, America does not have better infrastructure than South Korea. Okay. No. It doesn't.
The fastest internet in the world.
It doesn't actually have better internal infrastructure than a major Chinese city. I know China has their firewall, but if you're in Shanghai, the actual inside China network in Shanghai is really good.
And really, really fast, yes. And reliable, yeah. Super reliable.
If you're in Japan, it's outstanding. If you're in Singapore, it's outstanding. So I was like, No, like they have way more people than we do, and they always have to have more capacity. And they don't have data caps. Like, I'm just going through all these things in my head. And sure enough, like, was it 2 days ago, Microsoft Teams went down?
Yeah, it went down.
Only for a couple hours, but still, like, that is... and so, working through this whole process, I've actually kind of been like, this is a tool we should use, but let's not just assume it's going to work 24 hours a day every day.
Yeah, a tool we've been telling our teachers to use, an option. It's not like you have to do it this way, but an option is a Chrome extension called Screencastify. And the guy he runs his own blog. It's a small, you know, outfit. This isn't a huge company or anything like Google or Microsoft. And he's had a 40% increase in usage and in customers in a week alone. 40% more in just 5 days time. So, man.
Yeah, and you know, there are people who are giving things away for free, and that's amazing. But some of these companies, like, they can't give stuff away for free forever. They have to pay for the bandwidth. So unless now they may be able to apply for some kind of government relief at this point to help people. But my only point is, like, all this preparation's great, but you need to have a plan in place that is a bit more asynchronous. So we did a full Microsoft Teams deployment. We're an Office 365 campus, and so that was the best tool available to us. It is, if you're familiar with Skype for Business, they merged it into Teams. They're phasing Skype for Business out. So all the calling features are in there, plus there's like a, you can set up a team that's more like a classroom or a PLC. There's different things you can do. It's not as good of a classroom as like Google Classroom, and it's not as good of a live communication tool as Zoom, but I believe it's a little bit better than Google Meetings. And
oh yeah, we'll talk about that.
It comes with your license for Office 365, but even when we're in these meetings, all the teachers are like, you know, how can I control my students? And this teacher was like, it looks like a student can mute me. How can I stop that? And I was like, how are you going to stop them from turning their speakers off in their room?
Well, perfect. That's a later topic, but let's do it now. Video conference and options.
And they just kind of looked at me. I'm like, they're not in your classroom. They can do whatever they want. Like, they could pretend to be listening. You can't. They're like, well, what if they're chatting with somebody? I was like, they can have another computer next to them. You can't do anything. And if you're focused on control in any of these packages, you're not going to get anything done. And my advice was, your synchronous meeting time, get that down to like 10 minutes, small groups, answer questions, get clarity on instructions, put the work out there for them to do, and keep it as tight as possible, especially with high school kids.
Yeah.
Like, don't try to lecture for 40 minutes in Microsoft Teams. Because it's not going to work very well.
Yeah, I had a language arts teacher, and she thought about doing, like, I'm just going to not have, at first she's like, I was going to have, because we're a Google school, so we have Google Hangouts, and Google Meet. Well, Hangouts Meet, I don't, stupid name, we'll talk about it. And she goes, I thought about doing, like, a 20-minute class with my entire class, and she goes, it's like herding cats. There's no way. They're going to be getting up, going to the restroom, getting some water, coming back, chatting, you know, texting their friend. She goes, I can't control any of that. So what she's going to do is she's going to set up these small little 3-student conferences, like, throughout the week. And she's going to meet with these, like, 3 to 5 students for, like, 10 minutes. You know, and she's going to do that, like, maybe twice a day. So she's meeting, like, 10, maybe 15 students in a day. And that's what she's going to do. And that's it's just going to be for like a book discussion. It's like, hey, it's kind of very asynchronous. Hey, what have you read? How far have you gotten? Okay, let's talk about that. And, you know, that's it. And it's going to be like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Check in.
I spoke to a teacher today that had a very good plan for middle school kids. And I'm going to be very clear. I don't think a lot of this stuff works for elementary. So right now I've been dealing with high school, and now I'm starting to look at middle school a bit. But I personally right now don't have a plan for elementary. I have friends who are trying plans with elementary. So I know there are people who are going to be like, but your plan won't work. My kids are in fourth grade. So this isn't for you. Okay. Just,
yeah.
But middle school plan, this is what they're doing. Every day of the week is one or two subjects only live. So Monday is English day and Tuesday is math day. Now the teachers are fronting work for the kids to do, but the kids literally have almost a 7-day window before they meet with the teacher again, except four times the teacher has quote unquote office hours where they can just get clarity. And I thought that was great because it does put a lot out there for planning, but it also doesn't put a lot of stress on the parents and the kids. And so the student, the middle school kid, only has to be online really for one core subject a day and then a couple other touch base points with like advisory and maybe clubs or something. And I thought that was really great because trying to coordinate a seventh grader to be on time, online, not distracted, six times a day is going to be impossible.
No, that is, it's, there's no, in, and for those of you out there who are saying, Tony's full of it, it can be done, we can do it. No, you can't, because and maybe there is a parent, maybe there's a family, and they have one child, and that child is in middle school, in high school. Yeah, maybe you can get that child to do that. But what if there's one device, and there's three kids in that household? Maybe a high school kid, maybe a middle school kid, and maybe an elementary school kid. And they have to share that device. There's no way that is going to work. It's completely unrealistic, and schools that are trying to enforce it are setting themselves up for failure. But I mean, they'll learn. They'll learn. The teachers will just tell them. The parents will tell them. Everybody will just be like, "This is not realistic. You need to come up with different expectations."
The most successful, the most successful like online homeschooling company is K-12 education, as far as I know. They have a massive library, and they have teachers covering like kindergarten all the way through grade 12. I knew families that had to use them when we were in Dubai because they couldn't get their kids into school for 6 months. Their lessons are set up so that you do have some meeting times with the teacher, but the entire semester of work is there from the first day of the semester.
Yep. Yeah.
And that works. And the content you front load, the better it is, because then you get students at different intervals. So maybe on Monday when you start, if you front loaded everything the week before, you're only going to get like 20-30% of the kids who need clarity. And then as you go, certain units will be more difficult for other students, but you'll never have to deal with 100% of the kids at one time.
Yeah.
And that's how the business model works.
So
because you can't actually employ somebody to be online like 8 to 10 hours a day and make any money. But the business model works also because the educational program has proven to be very successful. Students go through it and then they transition into normal school. They're at the level, they take the SATs, they go to university. And this has been going on for a long time. So all I'm saying is anyone who doesn't think they can front load their work, you're wrong. You can do it. And actually the kids might work at a faster pace than they do at in a normal brick and mortar setting.
It is possible. I'll let you know what our elementary school is doing. It says they are front loading like a week at a time, but an entire week's worth of work at a time. And what they're doing is they're calling them, they have choice boards. They're like, hey, here are five English activities. You don't have to do all five. We want you to do three of them. Here are five math activities. Again, pick and choose the three you want to do. Here are five history activities. You pick the three you want to do. You do them in any order you want to do them. And it's all front loaded and it's all up there on the learning management system. So parents have access to it. The students obviously are too young to really log in and see it, except for maybe our fourth graders. But this is what we're doing for our early childhood and our elementary grades 1 through 4, really. We're doing these choice boards. And it's a great idea because it's asynchronous. It allows parents to work at a – they're like, okay, guess what? Today is math day, and you're going to pick not two – you're going to do four of those math things. And then we're going to do English in the afternoon, and that's what we're going to do today. And they're just – it allows the parents to kind of be flexible and do work on it as they can. So
– And that's smart. Like, they need to be able to kind of have that puzzle and jump around. Like, parents also need to be comfortable. Like, they're not teaching all the time. So you need to give them some targets. Like, oh, you know what? I'm kind of uncomfortable with science, but I think I can do the English. So they do the English, and they're like, still uncomfortable with science, but I'll try the math. And then it's like, okay, I've done English and math. I'm going to get into the science. And they have some options that way.
Yep.
And again, there's no – I think the problem is, like, there's just no way to control it.
So
the more you try to, like, use these tools to literally herd the children online and keep them organized, the crazier you're going to drive yourself.
Yeah, that's right. And our elementary parents have office hours, but it's just like you mentioned, it is just they're just there to clarify questions for the parents. And I want to talk about video conferencing options because you talked about it and then we steered away. Can you come back to it? Let's talk about them.
All right.
So
Patrick, I have some questions for you.
Please. Okay. I got answers. Because
I haven't used Hangout was just Hangout, and then it switched to Hangouts and Meetings, right?
Yeah. So they had.
And once it. When that split happened, I didn't use Meetings at scale. So how about you start with Meetings and just give us a rundown on, like, strengths and weaknesses?
Yep. And there are some really nice strengths, and there are some definite weaknesses. So it's called Google Hangouts Meet, but if you look for the app on iOS or Android, it's just called Google Meet. And if you look, and it just says Google Meet all over Google, but it's technically Google Hangouts Meet. It's a terrible name. So it's video conferencing, just video conferencing. There is a chat window like in Skype or Zoom or in Teams, whatever, that you can have. And Google, if you have just regular G Suite for Education, it's just a meeting. It's super simple to set up. But Google updated everybody's Google Meet. And so now we have the option to record the meeting, which is great. We can record the meeting. You can have up to 250 participants. There's supposed to be a live streaming where you can just live stream and people can watch and they can't really participate or chat or anything. Even though I have it turned on, I have not seen it work once. I'm not even seeing the option. I don't even know where it is. I know where it's supposed to be, but
so
I haven't seen it.
Apparently, to kick off that, like, live stream broadcast,
yeah,
you have to make a Google Calendar invitation.
So there's two ways to do the Google Hangouts Meet. You can go to meet.google.com and just start one right away, and then there's a very simple URL that you can share out and people can jump in and leave as they want. You can do it through the Google Calendar, and even by doing it through the Google Calendar, I still can't get the streaming option. It's not there. It's just not there. It's not an option. So I don't know what, and we have it turned on, like, in the admin council, it's like, do you want to allow teachers to do this? I'm like, yes. But it's not showing up. So
when did you turn it on?
I turned it on Wednesday. And then I turned it off and tried to turn it back on again. And of course it's not instant. It can take anywhere from a few minutes to several hours for it to actually take effect. So it's technically on right now, but I don't know. I got to figure in. But here, Tony, here is the bad thing. Here is the bad thing. Are you ready? Here is the this is a deal breaker. And as soon as we're done with this distance learning, I'm shutting this thing down. When you start a Google Hangout Meet, a video conference, and you, let's say you start it, I join it, you leave the video conference. The video conference is still going. It doesn't stop.
You know what? Microsoft Teams does the same thing.
It's all over the forums. They're like, how do I turn this off? And Google's like, you can turn it off. Just leave the meeting. And they're like, that doesn't work.
Yeah, so it doesn't work. Like, what happens is in Teams, apparently, is eventually it times out if there's no activity. So here's the concept. The concept is that we have a business meeting. I kick it off because these are business tools. Keep it in mind. When actually, you know, when I did all the trainings at my school. I did all of them for like 6 or 7 days, 3 hours a day, people rolling in, and I kicked them all off the same way. If it was you come the first time, I tell you the same thing. This is a business tool. If you think of it as a classroom or as a tool for controlling students, you're going to lose your mind. Think of this as a business tool, and this will all make sense. So the concept is really simple. I'm in a different country than you. We use this tool. I kick off the meeting, pair you up with someone to work on a project. I'm your boss, and I leave the meeting to go do another meeting. And you get to stay in the meeting. Like, you guys don't have to make another one. And we can record it, and it records, and it's not interrupted, so I can watch it later. It's a really good concept, except for the fact that if you use it with high school kids or middle school kids and you're recording, you could have like 6 hours of dead nothing because some kid sat there and didn't hang up.
Yeah.
And so what I recommended, this came up and I'm like, look, I don't have a solution for this. Here's my solution. Every single time you do a meet, this is your workflow. You put it out there. All the kids join. You can see them join on the right. And then you tell all the kids class is over and you tell all the kids to leave and you don't close the meeting yourself until all the kids have closed it out. And then you close it. And that does work. Like, that workflow works. Now in Teams, you can easily create a live stream that people can just watch and it's over when you're done. So that is like a good feature. You can do that, but you do miss the interaction with the students, like if you always do that. So
yeah,
I think going with the workflow right now is the best thing.
I think so too.
This is where Zoom owns both of these.
Yep. Yep.
Because the Zoom presenter can cancel and stop it.
Yeah. And the Zoom presenter can also, I've been reading a little bit about it, and there are a lot of tools. So if somebody, say, is at a different tab, well, the Zoom presenter can see that. They're like, oh, Zoom is not the current tab right now. Or if they have like a side, because you can send direct messages just to people within the Zoom chat, but the presenter can see all of that. Like, there's a record of all of that.
But here's the problem. Until last week, if you wanted all the Zoom features, they weren't free.
Yeah, that's right.
And so when I was like 5 or 6 weeks ago, I wanted to get ready. So I'm like, Teams is the only tool we have. Let's build on it. Let's develop it. Teach people how to use it and give them workflows that work. Now, here's the truth, though. I was like, you know, it doesn't really matter if this happens once or twice. But if you have a student who's constantly messing around and wasting time when there's no time to waste, we just really need to take them out. And they were like, what do you mean? I'm like, we'll just go into Teams and not ever let them access any team. Yeah. So they can't get any content. And I'm like, you need to communicate that to the parents. Hey, guess what? Your child is so disruptive. And so we're just going to send you like PDFs to work on maybe you can use the phone and call us like
this is
occasionally,
where,
but
yeah, this is where Hangouts meet. It shines a little bit because the teacher can record it and it saves directly to Google Drive. And once the video is processed, they can share that video out. So if a kid, and this is what we've been telling them, our IT team is like, if a student is supposed to be there, but they're not there, don't worry about it. It's fine. You record it.
Just move on.
And just share it with them. And you're going to be fine. Just move on. There's a recording right there for them to watch if they need to. It's okay.
Right.
It's all right.
I've said the same thing. One teacher was like, do I always have to record? And I'm like, yeah. Like, Microsoft's giving us unlimited storage for video. It stores in their Microsoft Stream platform, but it's basically like a private corporate YouTube.
Yeah.
I'm like, record everything. And then when it's ready, it'll be there, just share it out to your students, and anyone who misses, they can access it.
Yeah.
And also, anyone who misbehaves, it's recorded.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right there.
It's all there. another weird, quirky thing with Teams. It has a really good feature for doing interactive PowerPoint, but then if you want to do like a Word document or Excel document, it will not let you. You have to open it and just share your screen. And I think that's really weird. Like the entire Microsoft suite should integrate directly.
That's super weird. Yeah.
And when you go to browse for files using the interactive file tool, it will only show PowerPoint files. So people think that they can't, that it's not working. They're like, where are all my files? I'm like, oh, it only works with PowerPoint.
Yeah.
So that's a little frustrating. It has an integrated YouTube feature though, which my teachers love. So if you have the YouTube link, or you can search if you want within this thing, but if you have the link, it's better. You can embed a YouTube video right in the post. All the kids can watch it. You can talk about it at the same time you're watching it, chat about it, and there's no ads or anything. It just pulls the YouTube video in.
Now, we have also enabled Google Meet for our students, our middle school students, and they, of course, are using it all, you know, crazy. But we've actually had a number of parents say, wow, this is great, because they're not allowed to come over to our house because we're all supposed to be quarantined, you know, and so this is a way for them to socialize.
and that's true.
Google keeps a log of every meet that's ever created. Like, there is, I can run a report and I'll be like, show me all the meets between this date and this date. And it'll just do that. And if there are transcriptions, like if there are people chatting, like using Google Hangouts chat, which is stupid. But we can actually read each and every one of those. Like we can open it up, run a report, and see what everybody wrote. So there's a lot. That's why we are sticking with Google Hangouts and not going Zoom, because we have a bit more transparency. And it's only for only have 8 more days before our spring break. And when we have spring break, I think we're planning on shutting this down. Like the Google Hangouts, we're like, just spring, you know, go text your friend.
Take a break. Teams has a massive, massive like admin interface, and it appears to have a lot of great features, but this is what I found with the load Teams is getting around the world. When we apply settings like permissions, they can take 24 to 48 hours to apply. So the problem is that like some of these permissions, you kind of want to see how they play out before you apply them to everybody. Yeah. And you can't do that unless you're willing to wait 24 to 48 hours between tests. So I kind of laid this out and I said, look, unless there's a really, really big problem, we're not going to mess with, we put some basic permissions on, like we're not going to mess with any more permissions. And if you have a problem with an individual student, then we can really tighten down what they're allowed to do. And 24 hours later, we can easily test it. But if we apply this to the entire student body, we'll never actually know for like 3 or 4 days, because there's so, the permissions should apply immediately. I don't know why they don't. It just takes forever for them to apply.
The other thing is,
there are 4 or 5 different ways to add students to Teams, and some of them work with the email address, and some of them work with the name, and some of them work with both. So if you go into one, if you go into like this one search box, there's this like core search box, you go in and you put the email address in, nothing comes up. And you're like, I know this kid is in Teams. And then you type their name, comes up. And then another one, you go in and you hit add team member and you put in their name, doesn't show up. You need their email address. And it is so annoying. So, and a different, you're like, oh, we'll just use the same one over and over. You can't. There are certain, if you want to make like inside of a team, if you want to make channels, which are basically small group conversations, the lookup and assignment is different than in the team area itself. So check this out. Let's say I want to have a team and I want to have a channel, Patrick, and I want you on the team and you in the channel. What that means is, if I have 5 sections of English and they're all the same level, I go in the main team and I post all the work and all the assignments. and I have to onboard all the kids into that team, which is really easy to do because you can send the kids a joining code and they can join. It's really easy. But the channels are private. They're invite only. So I have to open like section one and add all the kids in there. And even though they're already in the team, I can't drag and drop them. And I have to type their names. I can't paste their email addresses in. I can't comma separate and load them. I can't do it in bulk.
Oh my gosh.
I have a team that's all students. And inside there's a channel for grade 9, 10, 11, and 12. And I had to manually add every kid to their channels.
Oh my, what a nightmare. Nightmare.
When I tried to do any of the bulk tools, it was skipping kids in random order. So I'm like, you know what? I talked to the school administration. I'm like, I need a full day to do this. And I will guarantee you every child is where they need to be. But I actually have to do them one by one. And I even went on the back end. There's like a SharePoint option where you can like work with Excel. And
yeah,
none of it worked.
Oh, man.
None of it would work.
So
this is all, I think, probably because Microsoft's system can't process this information fast enough.
And so with Google Hangouts, it's just like Active Directory, they're organizational units. And so students are in organizational units, and we just enable features. And you just have to know where to look to turn it on, but you do it. But then a little thing comes up going, oh, this could take 24 hours to take. And as we got closer and closer to the weekend, we found that it was taking longer, and it was the same thing. It was taking that you encountered longer and longer and longer to make changes, test it, make guides and screenshots and support for people, and know what we, you know, be able to answer questions, basic questions. And so we just finally, I got to the point, and I told the team, I was like, don't make any more changes. I'm afraid that if we make any changes, we won't be ready for Monday. And that's when,
right.
You know, and we need to meet with teachers today on Friday and give them a very quick crash course and all this stuff. So, which we did, which was great. I was like, man, I don't want to, gosh, I'm afraid of turning something off or turning something on and not having the ability to make changes in a timely manner once we are live with this. So.
Yeah, if a general rule is if you're going to try to apply permissions that control interaction to any group, you need to have some space to do that and test it.
Yeah.
So if you're going to, let's say you think it's really essential, you don't do it in the middle of a day on a Tuesday because people are complaining. You say, we're going to apply it at the end of the day on Tuesday. We're going to test it Wednesday morning. And if it doesn't work, we're going to revert it immediately. And Wednesday could be problematic. Thursday will be normal.
Yeah.
It's obviously better to do this stuff over a weekend. If you could push all change requests to Friday at 2:30 and start putting them in, because they're not, maybe not apply immediately, just start putting them in at 2:30, have some accounts to test. You should have sample student accounts on all these systems, so you're not really working with real students.
Yep.
So have sample students and log in as those students on Saturday and Sunday to confirm, then you're good for Monday. But I wouldn't make any changes based on like complaints, especially immediately. Like collect all the problems and then test out the solution. Because with the load these systems are taking, you might not get the results that you want. And the support from Google and Microsoft isn't going to be nearly as good during these times.
Yeah. And we ran into that as well. It was a small issue, but we reached out to Google support today, actually. It was a teacher prep day. And it was a very simple question, but it took 35 minutes and then of chatting. We weren't on the phone with them, but just chatting back and forth. And eventually the support person said, yeah, I don't know what to do. And we're like, oh, okay. All right, man. Well, he goes, I'll keep looking into it. And if I find a solution, I'll let you know. But it, like I said, this wasn't a very big thing either.
So Patrick, I think we're running a little bit long.
We are. I do have a question for you, and I'm adding it in here right now.
Yeah.
what are you guys doing for attendance? Because we are not taking attendance. We figured that is a losing battle.
We're taking attendance. I recommended a different type of schedule. The school is going to try to like do this differently. My opinion is to simplify your schedule, and I can explain how to do that in language that most school information systems understand. So let me try to explain this as best as I can.
All right.
Most attendance systems above grade 5 use what's known as meeting attendance. That means every time the student walks into a room, somebody ticks a box and says they're here. With online learning and the fact that you could plan to not meet the students as often, you can switch to daily attendance. And daily attendance is a single point of check-in every student has to do every day. And you could do that with advisory only. So make that mandatory. So maybe that's every day at 7:30. And the point of doing it isn't just attendance. It's to make sure the kid is out of bed, they're dressed, they've eaten, and they're ready to go or ready to report a problem. And their parents know we've got this daily check-in to kick off and move. That's also how like Scrum and Agile development works. Every morning you have a stand-up meeting. You meet with your team, you go over stuff, and you get to work. It's not for complaining or anything. And that works because that really gets everybody into the day. So that daily attendance is just meeting with someone like your advisor. So you don't want this to be like 30 kids in an academic class. You want a small group that checks in with an advisor. That advisor's like, is everybody good to go for the day? Yes, no, what do you need? And then they go on. And I think that is the smartest and easiest way to do it, is to switch to daily. So like if you're doing daily attendance in a high school environment where you may or may not have advisory, then the first subject of the day, doesn't matter what it is, will mark that kid present for the whole day. So for example, you can go into Power School and say, Power School, we're changing our attendance method to daily attendance. So that means when that kid checks in for their math class at 7 a.m., they're marked present for the whole day. So when you get those report cards at the end of the year or run those transcripts with attendance, it counts as an attendance point, and they're not counted absent, and every single teacher doesn't have to do it anymore.
Yeah,
so you want to switch to a daily attendance method. That's my advice.
We're not doing that, but what we're doing is, I mean, we're a small independent school, so any teacher has might be like 110 students, the most. Most of our teachers have 20 to 40 students. So some of them are setting up discussion boards where it's just going to be a check-in. Hey, how are things going? You know, everything going fine? Just reply. That's what they're kind of doing for just to get a sense. And if somebody, they haven't heard from somebody, say, for like 3 days, they need to reach out to the parents and reach out to the head of the division or the principal to let them know.
I also think it's important, maybe just as important, very regularly for schools to schedule small check-ins where teachers are meeting online. Don't let your teachers, don't let them drift. They should also check in. I mean, initially I would say the first week they should check in every day. Second week, maybe every other day. And then the third week, once a week. But I would do that just to make sure everybody feels comfortable.
Yeah.
And, it's the same thing. Make sure everybody's up, focused, ready for the day.
I think
it's important, and it's good for parents too. Like parents need to know that schools are being accountable. That's why I like the whole concept.
Yeah. It's being handled differently in different divisions. So our elementary school grades 1 through 4, they're doing just that every day this week. And then next week, maybe every other day. Our early childhood is doing it maybe once, because it's just a 3-day week for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So once this week, and then I think 2 more times next week. And then our middle school head, he is going to do it I think he's having like a full meeting because he's the biggest division by far, as far as staff wise. He's going to have one meeting on Friday, but he wants, I think, people to text him, like, text me you're doing okay. But a lot of our teachers are going to just meet, like, do a Google Meet themselves and share and talk about how things are going and what they've heard from parents and what they're experiencing. And so they're taking it on themselves to be very professional about this whole thing. And not, it's not just, hey, early vacation, coronacation.
Yeah. I think the only other thing we really had on the agenda is that one of our good friends put together a really, really good resource.
Yeah.
We're just trying to circulate it around.
Yeah. I'm going to put it on, I'm going to ask him if we can put it on IT Babble, like, just.
Yeah. His name's Mark Stone. Find him on Twitter and LinkedIn. He's easy to engage. He's a very helpful guy. He really spends a lot of time trying to connect people and getting all their resources put together. So, I've been circulating it around, and we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. He's got it's him and Elvin. I don't know how to say Elvin's last name there. Aliyev. And he is at an international school in Azerbaijan. He's a truly passionate about educational technology. And he's a really, really good guy and has tons of fantastic resources. So, Mark, if you're out there, thank you. Thank you again. And I'll be in touch, see if we can put this on IT Babble, because it is well organized. It's not overwhelming. It's great. I put a list of a whole bunch of crap that's floating around, and it's literally hundreds of different services and online resources, but it's overwhelming. It's like, where do you go? This is pared down. It's been vetted. These are things that actually work and are really good ideas, and how to use them. Like, not just, use Google Meet. Here's how you can use Google Meet, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's great.
Right.
It's a great resource. So I was blown away when I saw it. So.
My wife just texted and asked me if I was going to sleep in the car, so I got to go.
You got to get out of here. So for IT Babble, yeah. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Tony.
And we'll catch you on the next podcast. Keep on babbling there, people, and stay COVID-19 free.